Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the Gospel for this weekend, Jesus once again is teaching in parables. Jesus used parables for the express purpose to tease us, such that the more we think about the parable and the story, the more we are drawn into the mystery and the message that Christ wants to communicate with us. Now, if you study the four Gospels, you'll realize that Jesus used parables in the context of either agriculture, for example, the parable of the sower and the seed, or the mustard seed, or parables about trade and commerce. Now, this shouldn't surprise us at all. Jesus grew up in this type of setting. Joseph, his stepfather, was a carpenter. We would refer to him in our day and age as a small business owner. Joseph not only taught Jesus the trade of carpentry, but also the basic business practices of trade and barter. Furthermore, we can only assume that Jesus accompanied Joseph on trips to villages and towns to find work. Therefore, Jesus learned firsthand these principles of economics and finance. Now, one of the beautiful aspects of Jesus' teaching in these parables about agriculture or economics was that there was something that the audience could relate to. Now realize, Jesus' primary audience, it's the apostles. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. Again, they were small business owners. They knew these basic principles of agriculture or economics, and therefore Jesus could easily take those principles and apply it to the spiritual life so that Jesus could help the apostles understand what the spiritual life was all about. Basically, he spoke to the apostles at their level so that he could reach them. Now, broaden the audience. The audience also was basically farmers and servants and people that worked with agriculture. So, again, Jesus taught them at their level by using these parables. And see, therein lies the brilliance of Jesus Christ as a teacher. Christ always taught at people's level, and so too with us, so as to reach us, so that we could understand what it means for us to grow in the spiritual life. Now, notice how the parable begins. It says, "A man going on a journey called to his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. And then he departed." Well, this tells us right away the players. The master is God, the servants are us. The master goes on a journey. Well, the journey basically is Jesus ascending back into heaven. And now we, as God's servants, are entrusted with all of God's possessions, which is this world and the universe. Remember the story of the ascension? Jesus ascends into heaven, and shortly afterwards, the Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles. They receive that gift, and they are therefore to go out and evangelize. From the very beginning of the parable, the master places the servants in charge of his possession and then leaves. Well, immediately, we catch on to the story. Jesus leaves through the ascension, and he puts us in charge of all of his possessions of this world. That's why we have to be good stewards of the gifts that God has given us. Now, the story continues. He gives talents to these 3 servants. Now, the talents basically is no small chunk of change. In our day and age, scripture scholars believe that a talent would equate to about $1,000. So this was a lot of money. The master then returns. Now, the first 2 servants invested their money, and they doubled it. The master is very happy with that. However, the 3rd servant buries the talent, and the master is very angry with him. In fact, he begins to ridicule him. We learn the powerful economic lesson. First and foremost, money that isn't risked or invested will eventually begin to lose its value. I think many of us are realizing this in light of these financial crises that we are living under. Consequently, it's a basic economic fact. We must risk and invest our money in order for it to grow. Even if we don't have the stomach to put our money in the stock market and basically choose a conservative approach, we still have to invest our money, say in treasury bills or CDs or money markets. We have to make sure that our money grows for us. Despite how conservative or aggressive our investment tendencies are, we want a return on our money. Yet what's the worst thing that we can do? Well, we put our money into our mattress. We don't invest it. And we know the worst thing that could happen is over time, our money and the value of it diminishes. The future value of money always is greater than the present value. See, that's the basic economic principle. And see, Jesus, again, he knows his audience. He knows that these are all small business owners. They understand that. And so we see, too, ourselves, the classic economic lesson in individuals throughout the history of our own country here in the United States. People like Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan, Howard Hughes, Bill Gates, they risked everything. Even when others advised them to err on the side of caution, they still risked everything in order to make sure that they basically made a fortune, and they did. They became million billionaires, zillionaires. See, now take that financial and economic principle and apply it to the spiritual life. And that's what Jesus is doing. In this story, the first two stewards, they invest everything. They hold nothing back. They don't say, you know, I will invest only half of this and play it safe. No, they invest it all. And what happens? They double their investment. Herein lies the basic spiritual truth that Jesus is teaching his disciples and apostles and now us. And that is, our spiritual life, our faith will grow in the very measure in which we invest it in a relationship with God. I'll say that again. Our spiritual life, our faith will grow in the very measure in which we invest it in our relationship with God, by serving God and others. Yes, God also gives us talents, just like the master gave talents to these servants. And yet our talents, our skills and abilities, our talents, as Paul calls them in 1 Corinthians, charisms, our time, our talent, our treasure, they are given to us for the express purpose of serving God and others in this world. And yet we are called to do just that, to invest all those talents that we are given fully, not in ourselves, but in a relationship with God, to serve God and others in this world. But what's the worst thing that we could do? Cling to those gifts that God has given us. What happens? Well, if we cling to those gifts and we use them only for our own benefit, the value of them will diminish over time. Just like when we don't invest our money, eventually that money, the value of it, will diminish over time. So too what God has given us. We must fully invest ourselves, give ourselves over to God, heart, mind, and soul, fully invest ourselves, and then our return on our investment will be great. It will come in the form of a richer and deeper prayer life, a greater sacramental life, for us to perform works of charity for God and others that we never thought we could do before, because now we have invested ourselves in a relationship with God. Now, where is this most clearly seen? In the lives of saints. Take, for example, St. Paul. St. Paul clearly invested himself fully as an apostle. He held nothing back. He invested his heart and his mind and his soul as an apostle. What was his return on his investment? Well, he evangelized two continents, Asia and Europe. Again, our faith, our spiritual life grows by the very measure we invest it in God and serving God and others in this world. How about another example? Mother Teresa. For over 30 years, she worked in Calcutta, one of the worst slums in all of the world. She invested everything that she had, her skills, her abilities. She held nothing back. She ministered to the sick and the suffering, to babies that were malnourished, to people that were dying. And in doing so, the return on her investment, she awakened an entire world to recognize our duty and our responsibilities to help the poor. But where is this most clearly seen? How about in Jesus Christ himself? Christ fully invested himself completely throughout his entire ministry. He worked tirelessly, you know, to cure the sick, to feed the hungry, to help the poor, to teach the ignorant. And yet, Jesus, he invests himself completely when he climbs upon the cross. Upon the cross, Jesus now invests his entire life for us and for the world. What's the return on his investment? Well, salvation, eternal life, heaven for us all. That is probably the greatest return on investment we could ever know. And it comes through Christ. Again, that's the great spiritual lesson that Jesus is trying to teach us in this parable. In the spiritual life, our spiritual life will grow by the very measure in which we invest it completely in our relationship with God, by serving God and others in this world. Hold nothing back. Instead, give yourself completely over to God. And then God will take what you give him and multiply it 30, 60, and 100-fold, just like he did with those servants in the parable. And so, friends, I strongly encourage you, take some time this week, reread this parable. We only have a couple more weeks left to the end of our liturgical year, and then we begin Advent, a time in which we prepare for the great celebration of Christmas, Jesus, his incarnation into this world. And yet, these parables that Jesus has given us over the past few weeks help us spiritually to draw closer to Christ. This is the great spiritual invitation that Jesus is giving us to draw closer to him. Well, we must seize the opportunity, seize this invitation, and draw closer to Christ so that we may grow in a greater relationship with him. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.